Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When we celebrate Pentecost, most people bring to mind the events of our Acts 2 account, right? The whooshing wind, the tongues of flame resting on the disciples' heads, the speaking in tongues that, rightly understood, are taking place as it appears that God has taken the Genesis account that was read today and pushed pause on that separating of the languages because the disciples were proclaiming a message, Peter particularly, and people from 15 different areas heard it in their own tongue. It's what we like to think about at Pentecost, but then comes the gospel lesson, right? You turn to focus from Acts 2 to John 14, and Jesus here is answering a question that Judas has asked. Judas Iscariot had asked, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" You see, Judas is saying, "Hey, Jesus, we think you're awesome. Let's tell everybody else. You can prove it to them, and then we'll be right next to you, right? It'll be awesome. Everything will be great." It's a shame. When your mind is on things below instead of on things above, your focus gets a little upset. So Jesus responds, and his response is really, a lesson on the work of the Holy Spirit. And so he starts off, he concludes, "Now I have told you before it takes place." What's taking place is that Jesus is heading to Jerusalem to suffer and die at the hands of the religious leaders. And there he will be put to death by the Jews on the cross for our sins and rise again on the third day. He foresees not only his passion and resurrection, even in including that the devil has no hold on him, the prince of this world has no claim to him, but that so we know that he loves the Father, he's going to allow it to endure. But he also sees the coming, the sending of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. You see, after Jesus accomplished our forgiveness, he prepared the way of the distribution of that forgiveness to the ends of the earth. And he does so by mandating, preaching, and teaching, and baptizing, and absolving, and distributing his supper. As well as the office that does this work, the office of the ministry. The ascension of our Lord also assumes the day of Pentecost, as the ascended Lord Jesus had promised to send the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, and now we are not 40 days where we were at ascension, but 50 days since the resurrection, which is also why it's called Pentecost, not just because of 50 days, but because of the Jewish festival of Pentecost, right? Which is 50 days after Passover. And so, with the Jewish festival, it's being fulfilled right here this day as the Lord sends his Spirit and the gospel is proclaimed. And on the feast day where Israel would bring in the first harvest of the wheat, God is bringing in the first harvest of his crops as 3,000 people are converted through the proclamation of the word and the work of the Holy Spirit, and they are joined in baptism and then later come to the Lord's table and receive his gifts. You see, on this day we celebrate the first fruits, and those were the first fruits. And sure, we get caught up in this culture today thinking, well, I don't know if you've heard somebody say this, I've heard it a number of times, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. That's like a salesman telling you, "Don't worry, I'm not going to charge you more than what it says." When he's selling you a car and 30 things you didn't need when you bought it. You see, if you're saying you're spiritual and I'm not religious, you're really spiritless because there is only one spirit. Well, I guess you could say, possibly argue that there's two, but there's only one that's holy. There's the spirit of this age, which is of the devil and evil, but the Holy Spirit is the one, that Holy Ghost that Christ promises, is the one that has bound himself to work through means. Not because he has to. He's God, after all. He hovered over the surface of the earth when it was all created, there in the beginning. He's been there with the Trinity from the foundation, always existing, equal and yet not the same. So the Holy Spirit works through these means that you learned in confirmation instruction, the means of grace, the Word of God read and proclaimed, and the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And our hearts go, oh, if only we could have an experience like Pentecost. Well, if you drowned the old Adam this morning in your baptism, that's exactly what took place. Because that same Spirit that's connected to your baptism, that came to you when you were baptized, that has come to you when you've heard the Word of God, and that will give you the faith to receive rightly the body and blood of Christ today, is the same Spirit on Pentecost that appears in tongues of flame on the disciples' heads. Jesus had promised us, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all that I have said to you." And what does he say? "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." How comforting this is. For after the resurrection, Jesus' first words to the disciples, "Peace be with you." Then he breathes on the disciples and gives them the Holy Spirit in extra measure, "Peace be with you." He comes to Thomas, "Peace be with you." He comes to us today, "Peace be with you." You see, it's all about this good news of God's peace for you, the work of the Holy Spirit. He sends the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to come and to bring to remembrance all that he has said. And to have it brought to remembrance, you kind of need to have heard it, or at least been involved with it to some level. And yet the goal is never to take your peace from you. That's the peace the world gives, right? It's kind of crazy watching this woke movement self-implode. Okay? It's gone from you can't say anything about anything, or you're going to be cast out of society, to now they're eating their own. And I'm sorry, but I take a little too much pleasure in watching it occur. As one person posted this month is Gay Pride Month, if you haven't noticed. And somebody posted a Gay Pride flag. Oh, I'm sorry, an old Gay Pride flag. It wasn't up to date. It now has different angles and multiple colors because it's LGBTQ plus squared, apparently. It's fun watching them eat their own young as they try to prove each other the most woke in society. "I can be more offended than anybody else. Watch, I'll try." That's the peace of the world. You'll have it for a minute. And then somebody digs something up about you from your past, or you do something in the present, or somebody says something to you, or something happens in your life, or a family member gets ill, or something occurs at work, and all of a sudden your peace is gone. Because it's not the peace that passes all understanding. It's just, well, it's actually, I think Pastor Cleavy talked about it best once. He was walking home from a storm. It was a blizzard that popped up in Cleveland when he was a kid. And he walked home from school because the buses weren't running. And he didn't have a real winter coat because he went in the morning and it was warm. And all of a sudden he decided to sit down under a tree to rest for a minute. And he started getting sleepy. It was hypothermia that he was having. It was death that was coming. He felt comfortably numb, though. Actually, a little warm. But it was his body starting to shut down. This is the culture. This is not the peace that Christ offers. His peace comes into all this chaos, all this insanity, all this craziness of our life, and it takes our sin away. It removes the guilt that the world wants to keep around your neck. It removes the things that were said, the things that were done, the things that were thought, because it places them all on the cross of Christ and leaves them there with our Savior, who spilled out His blood for our salvation and gives us life in it everlasting. This is what is brought then to our remembrance. Do you doubt your forgiveness? Did Jesus die for you, or didn't He? Did He say it is finished, or didn't He? Is it finished, or isn't it? If it's not finished, then you better get to work. I myself like hearing Him say, "Tetelestai, it's done." That's the best part of the workday, isn't it? When you can say, "Done for the day." The only problem is, until you retire, it's never done. Right? And even then, some of you, it appears, have found more work to do in retirement than you did in the working life. But you see, our culture wants this. We're in love with this idea of a spiritless spirit. Look at the movies, Star Wars. The Force be with you. And then they ruined it with the midichlorians, right? They ruined it. We survived Ewoks and Jaja Bink. But then the midichlorians just ruined it all. Thank you, Disney. You see, for others, they want the Holy Ghost to just be a nice Christian-sounding word that enables you to have whatever opinion and whatever feeling you want because the Spirit guided you into it. In fact, whole congregations, whole synods, whole church bodies today are celebrating their Gay Pride Month. Scripture seems pretty clear on the issue that it's not something to be proud about. Rather, it's another sin of many that we all must confess in thought, word, and deed. Sometimes it's because we despise and hate and anger our brother who's struggling with the sin. And other times the thing that must be repented of the most is because we're encouraging them to stay in that sin. We need to love our neighbor as ourselves, enough to correct them, but also to love them as they struggle. Those churches that have given up loving their neighbor, Lord, have mercy on them. Lord, have mercy on them. Please understand me clearly today. Anything that does not directly lead to loving Jesus and His Word is not of the Holy Ghost. Because there is no disunity in the Trinity. We'll get to confess that again next week with Trinity Sunday. Rather, the Holy Ghost will bring to remembrance all that Jesus has spoken. Just look at the text today. Now, I was in a bit of shock yesterday when I was informed I'm preaching this afternoon for an ordination or an installation of a pastor. And I was like, "Oh, you just asked me to install the guy. You didn't tell me I was preaching." And I had to come up with a sermon, and I called my pastor confessor, and he said, "Well, the scriptures do say in season and out of season, don't they? You would need to be prepared to give a..." "Oh, shut up," I said. But look, Peter, on the spot, as the Holy Spirit comes upon him, takes the text from Joel and applies it to the events that are taking place correctly, and gives a beautiful long gospel sermon here in Acts. Right? He immediately is given by the Holy Spirit the ability to proclaim the Word of God in truth and purity. The temptation of the world is to always want to be accepted by the world. Peter's not interested in that at all. As we'll get into his sermon in weeks to come, "You're the ones who did this. You're the ones that crucified Him. The law is blunt." The purpose, though, of the office is not to leave people in the law, but rather to bring them to repentance so that the gospel can come and remove the guilt and the scars and the pain and the anguish and remind them that life in it eternal is theirs, that those who sinned against them, well, they need to forgive, but they don't win no matter what they've said or done to you, that peace in it everlasting is yours because of Christ's victory over sin, death, and the devil. "My peace I leave with you," Jesus says. "My peace I give to you, not as the world does. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." This contrast of what the world gives and what He gives is very important for our now. in a society that has gone crazy. A country invades a country that wasn't doing anything to them, from the best of our knowledge. Now we've had, is it 100 days that they've been trying to kill each other? And we're trying to help them do it as a nation? Our inner cities, a pastor showed me yesterday at the meeting at the district office, a website that's designed just to tell you how many people are shot each minute in Chicago. What? I'm sorry. I know it's happening, but to put together something that kind of makes it something to brag about just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And so in this world where peace is so ripped out of our hands, Christ comes and He gives us peace. A peace that assures us that nothing can take you out of the Father's hand. A peace that assures you that if He goes to the Father, He is going there to prepare a place for you. He is interceding on your behalf for you. And He sends the Comforter to intercede with groans that words cannot even express. Even while we may be too busy or too frustrated or too angry or just unable to pray. How comforting it is that Jesus left His peace right where He promised it to be. It's not something we have to look for, hunt for. It's there, always in His Word and His sacraments. And He sends His servants, pastors, and teachers to proclaim these words to us so that we may hold to them. So unlike the popular notions about a ghost and spirituality, the office and work of the Holy Ghost is for our comfort and our joy. He is our advocate, our defender, and our comforter. Despite being constantly attacked by the sinful flesh, the devil, and the world, the believer knows that we have not lost, for we have Christ who has defeated it all. In our days of trial and temptation, the Holy Ghost will direct us to the peace where Jesus gives us His peace and His consolation, which is His bride, the church. Where the Holy Ghost directs us, there Jesus dwells among us with the Father, and He defends us from future wrath and the devil, and He cares for us daily, here now in body and soul, and ultimately in heaven. And Jesus says, "And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I have told you. Rejoice. Your peace is assured. The gift of the Holy Ghost is beyond measure, and it is ours today and every day. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen."
Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.